Well, this is going to be an interesting conversation. Look forward to it for a while. Shaul Katzoff is the author of a book called Israel's Enemies Within. Now, often when we think of Israel, we think of it being surrounded by enemies, people that would do anything to destroy the nation of Israel if possible. Shaul has taken an opportunity here to talk about enemies that exist within Israel, and I want to welcome him to the conversation. Shaul, thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm good. Shalom, Boker Tov, good morning to you and all the rest of the listeners.
Yeah, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about this book. I don't know if it's currently available, but I believe it will be soon, unless it is already, but I guess you can get a copy at some point on Amazon?
It is currently available, and it is on Amazon.
Okay. It's called Israel's Enemies Within. You'll be able to find it there if you're interested, and I certainly hope you'll get a copy if you are. So give us the short version for those that know nothing about the book, intrigued, though, by the title, because we always think of Israel being surrounded by nation states and enemies that, you know, exist geographically. But what do you mean, Israel's Enemies Within? What's the book about?
Okay, so it all started about 14 years ago. I went to Odessa, Texas. It was not Odessa in Ukraine. Of course, it's all on the news right now, Ukraine. It was Odessa, Texas. And I was asked, we've been in a ministry visiting there, and I was asked by a very fine lady, how should I pray for Israel? And I spoke so much about the Iranian-Israeli conflict and pray about the Palestinian and the Israelis. And eventually, when I went back to my room, the Lord spoke to me very vividly, and he said, this is not what she asked you. She asked you about the problems inside of Israel. And suddenly, I had a vision of the true enemies inside of Israel. That was 14 years ago. Only during the time of COVID, I was working in real estate, and I lost two great deals side by side. And I find myself sitting at home, and you know, when everybody was supposed to keep so much distance from everywhere, and we were just inside our homes. And I lift up my eyes to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what am I doing? What will I do now? And the Lord said, what are you waiting for? And I said, Lord, what do you mean by that? And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, write the book that is in your heart for the last 14 years. Whatever you have researched, put it to writing. And that was in that day, right an hour after the Lord spoke to me, I start writing that book. And that, yeah, the true story. And what I focused in the last 14 years is to really to focus on the enemies inside of Israel. And I focused over the problem with the Israeli Arab community. I spoke about the problem with the ultra-Orthodox community in Israel. And I spoke about problems with inside institutions in Israel, recognized institutions in Israel that are really going against Israel. It's in their agenda. It's a hidden agenda, but it's a very lethal agenda. It's like kind of a poison. You don't see it, you don't smell it, but it works. And I focused on that in that book, in this book.
How, I don't know how to say this, but how are these enemies a threat to Israel currently, or are you concerned about them being a threat down the road? In other words, they're lurking. Well, as chapter two in your book is called Trojan Horses in the Israeli Knesset. A Trojan horse isn't a problem when you roll it inside the city walls. It's a problem when they open it up and the enemies get out of the Trojan horse, right? I mean, so is this, are the enemies we're talking about currently active and helping to destroy Israel from the inside out, in your opinion, or down the road?
No, they are currently active. The reason why Israel now is going for elections is because the government chose to collaborate with the Israeli Arab parties to become part of the coalition in Israel. Now, in my book, I focused a little bit about the structure of the Israeli politics in order to understand how they form a government and how they form power in the Israeli parliament, in the Knesset. It was the first time that the Israeli Arabs combined three separate parties, only to
demographically take control in the coalition. They had nothing to do with each other. They had different opinions, but they all gathered to one party in order to have majority in the Israeli parliament and in order to blackmail the parliament, because they have the position of power in the coalition, in order to blackmail the government. For example, in order for them to join the coalition, they blackmailed the Israeli government by giving them 50 billion, with a B, 50 billion shekels, which is almost $20 billion, in order for them to pay for the Arab sector that, in their view, was oppressed through the years, which is totally not true. But this is just one an example. Now, the way that the Israelis dealt with the current terrorism that happened a month and a half ago, the Israelis had to really walk between the drops and be on tiptoes behaving with the Palestinians' enemy, because every time the Israeli Arab party decided to withdraw from the coalition. And once they withdraw from the coalition, Israel have to go for another election. So this is just one example that it's not something that will go down the road. It's currently happening right now. When I wrote the book in 2019, I didn't even see, I predicted that kind of situation, but it's even worse than what I've predicted. The Israeli Arabs right now are really, they are like a stumbling block to build any government, even in the future. It is a current problem as we speak, and I spoke about it in my first chapter in the book.
All right, let's do this. I want to take a break here because we're going to dig in. We're going to look at all of the current enemies that you say are active inside of Israel. We certainly know about the ones outside of her borders, but there's a lot to discuss here, and I really want to dig in. I also want to hear a little bit about your own background, where you're from, how you came to know Yeshua as Messiah, and we'll talk about all that when NBL returns. Shaul Katzoff is our guest. He's author of a book called Israel's Enemies Within. His name, by the way, is spelled S-H-A-U-L. S-H-A-U-L. His last name, K-A-T-Z-A-V. Shaul Katzoff.
Correct.
And we'll be back with more of NBL. By the way, the book is available at Amazon. Probably the easiest place to get it. He does have a website. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on. But we'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment. Today's program brought to you by our friends at Cornerstone Bookshop in North York, Ontario. All right, let's get back to it here. Shaul Katzoff is our guest. He's author of the book Israel's Enemies Within, talking about literally the Trojan horse of what he calls or Trojan horses that exist in the Israeli Knesset. I believe there are other concerns that you have about enemies that you say are within Israel. But before we get to that, let me just ask a question. Are you originally from Israel?
I'm originally from Israel. I was born and raised in Israel. I was born in 1970 in Israel, in Tel Aviv. And I came to know the Lord after a journey of a year in the Far East for looking for the truth. Right now, for those who will purchase my book, they will see a bold man in the picture behind on the back of the book. But back then, I had a lot of hair and a lot of imaginations to find a flying dragon that will bring me somehow salvation through a Buddhist, Hinduist religious experience. But truth is to be told that when I went back to Israel, I saw an evangelist that was attacked by Orthodox Jews, and I went to separate between them, and then I stood up with this evangelist. I had no idea that he believes in Yeshua, but after he spoke with me for a few minutes, I realized that he's talking about Yeshua, that we call him Yeshua in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. I thought that he is actually a great traitor back then. But that was, and by the way, he was the third, it's a long story. My testimony is a very long story. He was the third person that the Lord sent to me. He shared with me eventually his book, his testimony, written in a book, and that led me to read the Bible. I went to take the Bible that I was sworn in to be loyal to the IDF, to the Israeli Defense Force. Of course, the book was only the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, as I like to call it. And I compared with the scriptures, what he wrote in his testimony book, and I found it to be true. it took me a whole year to struggle with the fact that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. But eventually, after a year of struggling, I just had to call this guy back. And 3 weeks later, after a conversation with him, I realized that Yeshua is the Messiah, and I've decided to accept the Lord to my heart. Actually, it was on June 24th, 1996. So it was almost to exact to the T, to the day. It was 26 years ago, and I just had an amazing experience with the Lord. Got baptized in the Jordan 3 months later, and since then I'm participating in Messianic congregations. The Lord called me to be an evangelist. The Lord used me to bring several Jewish people to his kingdom, and I'm very happy about it. And still using me to be an evangelist, to share the good news with the Jew first, and to, of course, to the Greek, to the Gentiles, for the non-Jews. So this is God's calling in my life.
Hallelujah. What a great testimony. I'm just curious real quick. We won't belabor this because I want to get back to talking about your book. But I'm curious, you know, prior to coming to an understanding that Jesus was the Messiah, and then after, you know, receiving him as Messiah, how much different Isaiah 53 looks to you? You know, he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, pierced through for our transgressions. All of a sudden was a veil lifted where you could see that this was prophecy about our coming Savior?
It's funny that you asked about Isaiah 53. I remember that I had this very silent moment in the room that I was in right in on that day before I wanted to accept Yeshua. And, you know, my heart was struggling, and something in me says, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Are you really going to believe in Yeshua? Are you going to really make that step? It was like before a great wedding that you want to be in, but you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I want to get married. I am sure that all the men understand that. And I was like, I did something that I'm not supposed to do. I said, let's play a Russian roulette with the Bible. And I'll open the Bible, see what the Bible tells me. And I opened the Bible, and it was on Isaiah 53.
Oh, come on.
And Hebrew, of course, yes. And I was like, wow. Then I realized inside my heart, what is the depth of the exchange that God has done with me, that God will do with me. He died naked on the cross in order that I'll be dressed with the clothes of salvation and a robe of righteousness. He died poor in order that I'll have abundance in him. He died in order that I will live a sinner like me. It just hit me very vividly. I remember myself looking in the mirror and I said, Shaul, you have nothing to lose. And on that night, I accepted the Lord, and it was an amazing wedding. Since then, an amazing one event. When I go through a hard time, I remember that. I remember that Isaiah 53, when I opened Russian roulette, as I call it, and that moment when God touched me in Jaffa, and everything else go really, like all those troubles and issues, it all go become really minor. It is an amazing experience.
Well, obviously, I know Isaiah 53 is prophecy about the coming Messiah. What I didn't know is how profoundly God used that little game of Bible roulette to bring you to faith in Christ. That's just awesome. So you've obviously at some point obeyed God and decided to write the book that he'd placed on your heart years before. It's called Israel's Enemies Within. You talked mm-hmm. a little bit about Trojan horses in the Israeli Knesset. But again, help us understand what you mean by Israel's enemies within. And I think you mentioned to me at some point that there's a problem with the ultra-Orthodox in Israel. What did you mean by that?
The ultra-Orthodox Jews are completely anti-Zionists. They don't believe that the current Israel, they don't believe that that the Zionist movement is pure enough or legitimate enough to establish the nation of Israel. For them, in their point of view, the whole establishment of Israel is a conflict, a complete, utterly conflict with the scriptures, according to what they have been taught. So actually, there are, of course, they will not say to you vividly, but in their mind, they don't believe that Israel should be exist. The only group that really go and say it out loud is called a group of is called Neturei Karta. Neturei Karta is a group inside the ultra orthodox a lot of ultra orthodox they would say publicly that they disagree, but actually it's a major part in the ultra orthodox community that everybody I look up to. That group that started with Rabbi that is called his name Rabbi Blau. That person would not even carry an Israeli ID. He actually asked to move to Jordan when Israel became independent. Mm-hmm. He asked to move to Jordan to live in Jordan. He demonstrated on the day of Sabbath. He was screaming out loud about how this the whole Zionist should collapse, cursing them. In fact. In the last major event historically, Neturei Karta, their representative went to Tehran, to Iran. Imagine to yourself to Iran, to meet President Ahmadinejad, and to support him to throw nuclears on Israel. They are also financially support Palestinians terrorist families. They are going so against the Zionist movement, and they are inside of Israel. Now, they are, it's quite of clever. On one hand, they are enjoying the protection of the nation of Israel over their lives, you know, against anti-Semitism, against their well-being. They are flourishing in Israel. On the other hand, they are using politics. Again, we're going to go back to the Knesset. They are using parties to support them in order that those parties will represent them on two major things. What are the major things? First is to support them financially. They don't work regularly. They go and study in their own, whatever it's called, yeshivot, in their own scholar academies, their religious, ultra-Orthodox scholar academies. And also, they want to make sure that they will be exempt from the serving in the IDF, in the Israeli Defense Force. Those are two major roles that they do go to elect. So it's funny, it's a little bit hypocritical. They are anti-Zionist, but they will vote for the Israeli parliament in order for them to get the money and in order for them to be exempt from serving in the IDF. So in a way, they are departing from Israel, but they're not just secluding themselves from the most of the Israeli society. They are also work underneath the surface in order to take down the Zionist idea, to bring it down. And for all of us, it's very obvious. Once the Zionist idea is it will be dead, Israel, it will no longer exist. This is why I put them in the category of Israel's enemies within.
You understand that the vast majority of people in the West who know and love Jesus have no idea what you're talking about. And you may have some that would completely disagree with your take on this. But my point is, that kind of information, that kind of idea is not commonly known amongst believers here in the United States. You understand that?
I do understand that. And most of the people understand that God rescued the people of Israel from Egypt. But they don't understand how God rescued the people of Israel from Korach and his assembly. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, the Lord put it, Moses, before he went to depart from the people of Israel, he put it in Deuteronomy 11. He said that the Lord, the hand of the Lord, was rescuing us from Egypt, but also from Korach and Datan and Aviram, the false priests. The false priests that
sure.
wanted to destroy Israel from within. Most of us, most of the people, they understand the enemy from outside, but they don't understand how dangerous it is about the enemies inside. And of course, a lot of people came to me and said, oh, the same situation is in America. Yes, true. But in Israel, it's on steroids right now. And Israel actually is the canary, Canarian in the canarian or the canary, I don't know the name of the bird, I'm sorry, the canarian in the coal mine that will indicate what will happen also in the nation, in the American nation. But yes, we are not aware of that. We don't understand that. But the Lord is working in his ways, and he's looking for those people who intercede. When Korach confronted Moses, Moses didn't speak politics. Moses did not speak power. He and Aaron and the elders of Israel fell on their face and interceded. And this is what we need to do as believers against the enemies inside of Israel and inside the United States, to fall on our face. It's about the time to fall on our face and intercede for our nation, for Israel and for the United States, and to recognize that our enemies inside that want to destroy us from the inside, and start to say, Abba, help us, rescue us, help us. This is why I wrote this book.
So powerful. We're short on time, but let me ask as well. You mentioned to me prior to the conversation that one of the things you also addressed were the institutions in Israel. What can you tell us about that? Because you also consider some of those institutions to be enemies within.
Yeah, the great example is the Israeli Supreme Court. The Israeli Supreme Court in the first years of Israel really understood its position as part of the elected powers. Okay, there are three, of course. There is the parliament, there is the government, and there is the Supreme Court. They understood the separation of power. And I give example in the book. The Supreme Court in the early years of Israel, they didn't deal with the decisions of the government because they understood their spot. They understood their position that they are not an elected body. They are elected by the parliament. They are elected by the Knesset with the approval of the government, but they are not elected directly by the people as much as the Knesset is elected. So they understood that separation. But back in the 80s, there was a president of the Supreme Court, that his name was Aaron Barak, that start to make reforms in the Supreme Court, that it became sticks to Israelis' decisions about security, about actually any part or any subject that may come in the Israeli society, including security, and especially because of the conflict with the Israeli and the Palestinians. So I gave an example that right now the defense ministry of Israel, he cannot decide where to put a safety fence between Israeli settlements and the Palestinian settlement because of to prevent terrorism. That decision has to go to the Supreme Court for a decision, instead of the Supreme Court respecting the decision of the government. And I gave several other examples. So now, because of Aharon Barak, he made several reformations that the Supreme Court is actually, in other words, if you speak street or if you speak simple English, they are actually own the government. Instead of respecting the government, or instead of saying, okay, this matter is untouchable, we cannot deal with it because it's a decision of the government, they are actually approving or not approving the actions of the government. So in other words, there is a situation that it became a dictatorship. The Supreme Court became a dictatorship running the government instead of the opposite. And this is why I considered the Supreme Court as an enemy in within. This issue could be resolved much easier than all the other topics that I have mentioned. It all has to come back to the people deciding that, okay, we want to roll back the Supreme Court to its position, understanding the separation of powers. But it looks like the Knesset members don't have enough courage. Or maybe they think that the people don't care about this situation as much. Maybe there is a blindness. I believe that my people, the Jewish people, they have blindness in many matters in life, and because they are very natural. They are There are the chosen people. I love them, and I'm doing my best to share the good news with them. But they are very blind about the reality of the Supreme Court, and they don't understand that you can reverse the situation and put back in line the Supreme Court. But as for now, there is a dictatorship, and it has to be dealt with. And, of course, I believe that prayer could really change and transform situations.
Obviously, two separate situations entirely, but it's very interesting. As you talk about Israel's enemies within, you could draw some parallels as to what's happening here in the United States at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Two different situations. But in the time we have remaining, I just wonder if you'd take a second here to speak to our listeners about getting a copy of the book and help reaffirm why you think it's important that people in the West, believers, and those who love Israel, to be able to read a book like this and understand what's going on so that we can pray more effectively for Israel.
Yes, well, thank you for the opportunity. You could buy the book at Amazon.com. You just punch Israel's Enemies Within, or in my website that is called OliveOilValley.com. It's a long story. I'm not going to share with you how much,
okay,
what brought me to this name, Olive Oil Valley, but you could find the book over there. Why is it important? It is important because I believe that God is moving towards the people of Israel. We don't know the time of the hour, and I'm not challenging to find the time and the hour. But I know that if 2/3 of the nation of Israel will be destroyed in the end days, and 1/3 will go through the fire and brimstone, and the Lord will prepare them for the millennia. So I believe that it is very important for us to really pray and pray for the apple of the eye of the Lord. This is the nation of Israel is the apple of the eye of the Lord. And the only reaction that when we see, like in Korach, and standing before Moshe and confronting him, Moses didn't release money in order to have a campaign against Korach. Moses didn't use power of weapons. Moses didn't use all those things except be on his face. The only way up with the Lord is being down on our noses to the ground and pray to him. It doesn't have to do just with the people of Israel. It's with any situation that we are dealing in life. If we are backed to the wall and we want the Lord to lift us up, the only way is not through connections. The only way is not through going and study. The only way is to go and put our nose to the ground and say, Lord, here I am. He will lift up those who humble themselves. The Lord cannot go against his word. The Lord would not go against his word.
That's
if he
right.
says, I will lift those who are humbling themselves before me, he will do that job. So the Lord eventually will change situations regarding Israel, regarding the United States. I think that reading the book will really, as much as I hear feedback from many American people, and of course this book is for believers all over the United, not just the United States, but globally.
Sure.
I haven't translated that book yet, but it may happen. Somebody asked me to translate the book to Korean. That's a different story. But I'm saying that I believe that the reader will understand and say, hey, there are the same situations in America, and we really need to pray. We really need to be on our knees praying. And the only thing that can really unite us is what God's heart is on. God's heart is on his people. His eyes are on this land day and night. It's written in the book of Deuteronomy. So why shouldn't we go? If somebody asks himself, hey, what God really wants from me? The best thing to do is like to ask where God is going, where he's focused on, where is his heart, and then follow that. I think that this is the best way to do it in order to have blessings from God. So this is why I want to encourage you to purchase this book, and really it will be an eye-opener in many aspects. We covered maybe 2 or 3 subjects, but there are so much for the reader to understand exactly also what happened to Israel during, especially before the Holocaust, in the last 250 years, what brought the birth of Zionism? What is actually Zionism? And there are so many aspects that will be an eye-opener and actually will be a key to a gate to see things that they most of the readers didn't see and know about Israel.
Fascinating stuff. Israel's Enemies Within is the name of the book from Shaul Katzav, S-H-A-U-L, last name K-A-T-Z-A-V, Shaul Katzav. Israel's Enemies Within. Get a copy at Amazon or go to his website, oliveoilvalley.com. And next time we get you on the air, you can explain what that what that website's about. But I would love to invite you back sometime. And Shaul, thank you so much for spending time with us today on WDCX.
God bless you, and thank you, Neil, and to you, all the listeners. God bless and shalom.